A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
And I'm just saying, all of us need to be willing to be tuned up spiritually in order that we might continue to run the race that God has given to us. And if you do come to a place where something's bugging you and you're angry and you see a person and you have these negative thoughts, I'm telling you, that displeases God.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Building Forgiveness.
I mentioned this morning that I was saved in 1972. And over the course of my Christian life, I've learned what many of you have learned, that sometimes things and people are not always what they appear to be. But for those of you who've been around building and building programs over the course of your life, you know that the most important thing about a building is not the part that you see outwardly. In fact, if there's not much attention given to the issues below the baseline, buildings like this great building can literally crumble in a matter of seconds if there's not attention given below the baseline. The most important qualities of the building are not what we see physically in the colors and in the design. The most important qualities of that building are the issues below the baseline and in the interior hidden columns. And tonight, the most important thing about your life and mine is not necessarily what's seen on the exterior, though that may be a reflection of good things happening in the heart. We've all lived long enough to see people, even in ministry, who had the outward look, but inside and below the baseline, there were issues that weren't cared for. And because of that, when the winds blew, the house fell. Tonight, I speak about one of those areas that if it is not dealt with, if you leave it below the baseline, it will inevitably bring cracks to the structure, and it will inevitably bring your testimony to ruination if you have an unforgiving spirit below the baseline. It may be something that was done 20 years ago. It may be something that was done 20 minutes ago. But God has commanded us to live below the baseline with a forgiving spirit. Bitterness is one of the greatest hidden sins in Bible-believing fundamental churches today. Bitterness toward a family member, bitterness toward a previous ministry, bitterness. And oftentimes we hear people spew out in bitterness and lash out on the internet in bitterness. And we hear of various arguments that are born of an unforgiving spirit. Marriages are ruined because of gunny sacking, where issues are kept and brought up again and again and again. And all the while, God in His blueprint, with this divine design for the Christian life called the Bible, has given to us a way to prepare and to make sure that we do not live our lives with bitterness below the baseline. Most of you have heard the story of Jim Elliot, the great missionary to the Alka Indians. I remember years ago visiting Moody Bible Institute and seeing the hundreds of plaques for men and women who had gone to the mission field, and there was a special section just for those who were martyred on the mission field. I remember seeing in Spurgeon's College a special wall for the martyrs. It was an honor in the early missionary movement days to go to the foreign field, and missionaries in those days always took with them their casket. They had no idea of a furlough or of a coming back. It was truly living out their life for another people to hear the gospel. And Jim Elliot modeled that as he went to the Alka Indians and as he was murdered by this head-hunting tribe there in South America. And if there was ever a case where a minister's wife could have resented the ministry, could have resented God for what happened to her husband, it would have been Elizabeth Elliot. And yet the fact is that Elizabeth Elliot said, to the world at large, this was a sad waste of 5 young lives, speaking of the martyred missionaries. But God has His plan and purpose in all those things. The prayers of the widows themselves are for the Alka Indians. We look forward to the day when these savages will join us in Christian praise. Plans were promptly formulated for the continuing of the work of the martyrs. And in fact, those very widows eventually went back to the village and eventually saw the salvation of the very men who took their husbands' lives. God's work marched forward because 5 women refused to allow bitterness to overtake their hearts. Often relationships in Christian homes and churches are destroyed because of someone with an unforgiving spirit. It seems like nearly every week I'll hear of a decision that's made and someone will say, that's it, I've had it. And sometimes the reason that is given is not necessarily the real root issue. The reason that is given may be more surface, but at the root issue, there was an unresolved issue from time past. And ultimately, as the Bible says, that defiling root of bitterness brought the fruit that no one ever thought they would see. When someone is bitter, they'll avoid the person toward whom they possess bitterness. When someone is bitter, they will be gleeful when something bad happens towards the one that they are bitter toward. When someone is bitter, they will gossip toward that person. When someone is bitter, they'll remove themselves from any fellowship or ministry with that person. And may I say tonight, any one of you at any moment should be willing to get with anyone else in this room for the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ. I should be able tonight to say, you on the third seat in the third row and you in the second seat in the second row, I need you guys to come up here and help this man who came forward to be saved without the fear that, uh-oh, maybe they don't get along because 7 years ago their kids bit each other. Unfortunately, in many churches, there is the loss of freedom to minister because there's this hidden problem below the baseline. Tonight, there's not a person in this room who doesn't need this message. If you're not struggling with an issue tonight, then there will be something in your life, perhaps within the next week, that will take place, that will bring you to this crossroads where you will either practice Christian forgiveness or you will begin to harbor something that will limit the power of God in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to that moment when suddenly you're in the emergency room or suddenly you're in a difficult situation and you need the power of God, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You don't need to be in a place of bitterness towards someone else. All of us need to live our lives, not just when the revival meeting comes, but all of us need to live our lives with clear accounts before the Lord. And so I want to share with you a brief pattern tonight that will help you below the baseline to live with a forgiving spirit in your Christian life. How do we do that? First, we must learn to reject Satan's temptation. The Bible says in verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, I'm afraid that often we are not vigilant to remember that the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. And the devil has many darts and many arrows that he will shoot at us. And one of his favorite is the arrow of a hurt spirit. And he'll throw it or shoot it towards us. It may be that sometimes we view a woman as holding things longer, but men will do the same thing. And we must recognize that we have an enemy, and the enemy is Satan himself. And he tempts And he tries us. Notice he tempts in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We must reject this matter of sinning to anger. Satan wants us to sin in anger. Now there are instances when Jesus acted in righteous indignation. However, Jesus was always perfectly angry at sin, and his anger caused him to uphold righteousness. He was not angry at the person, he was angry at the sin. And the problem with our anger is that it so often directs towards the person rather than the sin. And when the Bible says, be angry and sin not, it is telling us that we may have a righteous indignation towards a sinful predicament, but we are not to be angry at a person. And the fact is, as Matthew Henry wrote, if we would be angry and not sin, we must be angry at nothing but sin. And we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. And often it is our anger that leads us to sin. Anger is one letter away from danger. Anger is temporary insanity. And when a man or a woman has bitterness and seethes in anger, they often will do things they never thought possible. And the reason for this is that our anger is usually self-centered. Our rights were violated. We should not have been treated that way. We were not recognized. And so be aware that the devil will tempt you to anger. He'll tempt children in school and parents, and he'll tempt us at work to be angry. And then secondly, not only does he want you to get angry at someone, but he wants you to stay in your anger. Satan recognizes that as long as you're angry at something or someone that happened back in the day, then you are immobilized spiritually. Because now being filled with anger, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible commands us in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yet we cannot be filled if we are not empty of self. And when I am filled with anger, I am filled with self, self-thought and feeling. And the fact of the matter is that the devil loves it when we're filled up with anger. And he really doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're angry at your spouse. He doesn't care if you're angry at your preacher. He doesn't care if you're angry at some person at work. He really doesn't care as long as you're seething below the baseline. Now, you might have a beautifully modest dress and a wonderful suit, and you may be carrying a King James Bible, and you may look as straight as they come, but if below the baseline there's this matter of anger, there's this seething bitterness, it doesn't matter who it's toward. If it's existing there tonight, then you do not have the power of God in your life. And you will, in fact, continue to respond in the flesh rather than to respond in the Spirit. And so he says in verse 26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, God has commanded us that we're not to live continually with anger. We're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. And one man and woman were celebrating their wedding anniversary, and they had 50 years of marriage, and they were telling their testimony that they had promised that they would never let the sun go down upon their wrath. And they said, that was our promise to one another when we got married. And the man chuckled and he said, there were many sleepless nights, but we didn't let the sun go down upon our wrath. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. Never be too proud to repent to your spouse, or if there's the sense of bitterness in your family, to run to the Word of God, and if necessary, to run and get counsel that God may help you to live with the peace that He wants you to have. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And I'm just saying, all of us need to be willing to be tuned up spiritually in order that we might continue to run the race that God has given to us. And if you do come to a place where something's bugging you and you're angry and you see a person and you have these negative thoughts, I'm telling you, that displeases God. And you must go to the Lord and perhaps go to the person. And if you need help, come to a pastoral staff member or some godly person in the church and say, look, I just need help to get through this time. I know it's petty, I know it's silly, but it's holding me back. And I know the devil wants me to stay in anger. I get tickled because a lot of times you'll see folks that just keep repeating their anger all the time. But when you see a grown man who just can't seem to get control of that, you recognize the problem. And how much more so with a Christian who can't seem to get control, who lives with their anger. I'm just simply saying, when you go let the sun go down on your wrath, there's no telling what you might do. And so if you go to bed angry, seething with anger, it comes out in so many ways. Look at Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, take that verse to heart tonight and just ask the Holy Spirit and make sure that there's not a root of bitterness. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been around churches for a long time, and it's very easy to spiritualize and put on that Baptist smile. Oh, I'm fine. No, that didn't bother us at all. But as soon as you get in the car, you're talking to your husband about it. Your kids know it bothers you. Oh, Pastor, we're way over that. We don't talk to the people. We really can't stand them, but we're over it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be careful of the root of bitterness. Some people's favorite meal is stew. They stew about everything. They swallow up every offense and boil inside. The Bible says, neither give place. The Greek word is topos. It speaks of a marked off portion. It's as if you say, God, you can have most of my heart, but this part right here, this place, I've given to the devil. Now, most people would not do that. Most of us would not literally say, devil, here, you can have this 20% of my heart. We would never say that, but many times we live that way when we allow bitterness below the baseline. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, I'm not even going to let anger stay there. I'm not going to give it a place. I'm making no provision for the flesh. Notice 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now think of that. The Apostle Paul said, I don't want to let Satan get an advantage over me. And one of the ways that Satan can get an advantage over you is when you allow a hurt to linger in your heart and you allow a problem in your heart. And Paul the Apostle said, I don't want to let Satan get an advantage. He said, I'm not ignorant of his devices. And sometimes I'm telling you, you can be a church member for 25 or 30 years and yet one of the simplest tools of the devil can bring you down. That's why we must be vigilant and battle every single day until Jesus comes. Because Satan will never stop throwing those darts until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must reject Satan's temptation. Satan wants us to be bitter. He wants us to be frustrated. He wants us to harbor things against others. And we must not allow him to lead us down that path. I don't know of one person here tonight that's on that path. But I would be shocked if there weren't a few. And I want to urge you for your sake, for your family's sake, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And if you need to get counseling, if you need to go to someone, if you need help because there's seething anger in your marriage, then you run to get the help that you need before the cracking begins and the whole building falls. I'm going to tell you something. When you hear of someone that leaves the faith, you hear of someone's marriage that just fell apart, it did not happen overnight. But it happened night after night after night after night, harboring bitterness, harboring sin in their heart. Notice secondly, if we're going to live on the victory side, we must reject Satan's temptation. Secondly, we must respond in biblical grace. We must learn how to respond to the difficulties that we face in biblical grace. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now we need to respond in our actions. And in verse 28, we read about stealing. Stealing disregards the command of God. And as with unforgiveness, which disregards God's command, selfishness disregards God's command. People who steal have a selfish mentality. I really deserve it. I deserve it just as much as they deserve it. God made a mistake when he didn't give it to me, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. And you understand that that is also one of the temptations of Satan. So in our actions, we must have humility rather than pride to justify our sin. But notice in our words tonight, in our words, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. When we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it will always come out of our mouth. It may take a little time. You may do well for 3 or 4 or 5 months, and someone may just invite you for some fellowship, or you may just go out to have a cup of coffee. And it's just interesting how the devil does this. I've seen it over the years. And two good people, two relatively innocent people just kind of getting together, maybe talking about education, maybe talking about sports, just as innocent as can be. And suddenly a person's name comes up innocently, and suddenly, because the bitterness wasn't dealt with, when that person's name comes up, suddenly things are said. And comments are made, and gossip begins, and deterioration begins. And the Bible says, let no corrupt, and the word corrupt means rotten or putrefied, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but notice, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. Edifying. My mom used to tell me when I was a teenager, she said, son, you have discernment, but don't let that discernment come into a critical spirit. We need discernment. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to try the spirit to see whether it be of God. We need to contend for the faith. We need discernment, but we do not need a critical spirit. There is a difference. Some of you who sense a discernment on certain issues in the Christian life, that's good, that's fine, but it should not come to a critical judging of the heart, judging of the motives, judging direction. It should not come to that spirit, because if it does, corrupt communication proceeds. And rather than that which is edifying, the word edifying means to cause to grow. And I get around people that are good at this, and I think, I wish I was better at that. Sad to say, sometimes I get around preachers that are so negative, it draws my spirit down. You'd think there's no one fundamental left except them, and maybe they're the only one. But you get around other people that have so much good to say. That's a good man. That's a good preacher. That's a good ministry. That's a good family. Well, yeah, but did you? Well, I'm sure they're doing their best. You know, you ought to have a set answer when you get around someone who has a corrupt mouth. You ought to have some things to say like, well, I'm sure they're doing their best. I'm sure that Pastor will help them with that. I'm sure that God's going to work that out in their life. Edifying, edifying, restoring instead of tearing down. Have you noticed that we live in a nation that's really good at tearing stuff down and burning stuff and painting graffiti on stuff and making everything worse? I submit to you that Christians ought to do their very best to restore life where the devil's trying to bring death. You ever get around somebody that everything is negative? Everything is negative. Edification is something that everyone needs. I want you to look at this, verse 29. To use that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, let me just for a moment have a mass ordination service, and let me hereby duly ordain you as full-time ministers of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.